Paul?
My first question may have not been as precise as it should have been. I said, do you agree with the benefits of MAB, yes or no? Since half the physicians disagreed, is there anybody who would speak against MAB in a patient then with metastatic disease? I should have been more specific and said, in patients with M1 disease, is MAB standard of care or monotherapy?
I wouldn't speak to it, but I can tell you, I mean, the zeitgeist out there, and I have heard medical oncologists and urologists and others say, well, we know, look at the MAB story, a useless therapy, and we were deceived for 10 years. So, I mean, I hear that all the time. The general sense out there is that it does not make a difference in terms of survival.
In our patterns of care study, we see, I think, maybe 40, 50% of people using it, but a lot of people not utilizing it. Jerry?
Yeah, I think that, not to be critical here, but the message that came out of Hopkins in response to the MAB thing and the PETO analysis has just changed the attitude of so many people. They have looked at it and said, it really doesn't do very much, not worth it, it's not worth the expense, patients can't afford it. And I think it's really unfortunate because the benefit's greater than it is with Taxotere, and everyone's excited about Taxotere. So I think that there is a problem about the misperception in that setting. Now, the truth is we don't have a lot of patients that qualify, but now we have this other group here of patients who must have metastatic disease, that they're doubling in less than 3 months and dying within 5 to 6 years. They have to have metastatic disease to be doing that. And the challenge for us is, how do you counsel or what do you say to people where we can't prove they've got metastatic disease other than the fact that they're acting like they're going to die very quickly? You know, do we go back to that and say, look, you're clearly in trouble. The best thing we can offer you is maximum blockade. We can't recommend it because we don't have proof that you have metastatic disease. Maybe we should start being more aggressive about how we prove whether or not they've got early metastasis if we can't use the PSA as a surrogate.
Howard?
I'm totally confused by what you said.
What I'm saying is maximum blockade gives you the best chance for survival when you've got metastatic disease.
Okay.
Treating earlier metastatic disease is better. And we have a parameter that is identifying people who are acting like they have metastasis, but we can't prove they have metastasis other than this PSA doubling time. Shouldn't we be aggressively using hormone therapy, maximum blockade, in that setting?
Yeah, that's fine.
Do you agree with that,
Howard? I think those patients need systemic therapy, and the standard for that patient is maximal blockade. As far as we know.
Yeah, but he just said only 40% of the community people are of the belief that that's true.
And well,
the data
Mario,
is the data. I mean,
Mario.
The question is still open, what the contribution of maximal blockade will be in that very high-risk patient who doesn't have the greatest hormone sensitivity. But you've already seen the predictive value of not achieving a PSA nadir, and you know you have a higher... What I'm curious is, how do you reconcile the maximal blockade data with what's been evolving in terms of intermittent therapy, which suggests that it's not worse than if you have periods where the testosterone is allowed to recover, it's not detrimental. Now, granted, the final survival analysis is not done, but the inferences on the preliminary data that's been supported is that it's no worse. Is that fair?
Gotcha. It would be interesting to see if there's been a shift in the pattern of practice since the Medicare Prescription Drug Act has come forth, because one of the perceptions was the oral medications were too expensive to give to a lot of elderly patients. So I wonder if that's actually shifted at all in the last year or so, if there's been actually more antiandrogens prescribed or not, now that these drugs are more readily available.
So maybe you could ask you a question. Why wouldn't you do it?
Exactly.
Now, you don't add toxicity that's significant.
It's cheap.
You have, granted with all the limitations of subset analysis, it never comes out worse when you use an antiandrogen. So if you want to maximize somebody's response, what's the problem?
Greg?
I'd like to just emphasize Lori's point. I think CAB got a bad name because we were throwing it at everybody, people that, you know, the local urologist knew would, you had 10 years to live. I think now that we have stratification, we can show the death rate within 5 years, that CAB will be very well accepted for this subset of patients.